Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Diane Randall, and I will be your moderator for this very special session that we have. A very special thank you, of course, to the University of Lethbridge, to Shaw, and to Sven Eriksson for making these sessions possible with the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. A very special welcome to each of you, because without your participation in the Southern Alberta Council of Public Affairs, these sessions would not occur, and we would not be as informed, and opportunities for good information and good dialogue would not occur. I'd also like to a very special thank you to our viewers on Shaw Cable, and I hope that you enjoy our session as well. I'm going to move in quite quickly to introducing our guest for today. His name is Bernie Carrier. Bernie has been very involved with Rotary for a number of years and has certainly emerged as one of our leaders, both at a community level, at a club level, but even more significantly now is his role as district governor-elect for our district, which covers a large portion of the Prairie provinces. We're very pleased that Bernie has taken a leadership role in ensuring that service above self, which is the motto for Rotary, is exemplified in the work that he has done at those levels and more significantly at an international level. Bernie was also very, very instrumental in working in a country called Togo. And the Lethbridge Rotary, which brings the global initiatives into our community, has done exactly that with a sanitation project in Togo. According to the United Nations, some 2.6 billion people, half of the developing world, live without improved sanitation. In sub-Saharan Africa, coverage is a mere 36%. The Rotary Club of Lethbridge and Rotary International and a Rotary Club in the small Western African country of Togo have joined forces to help create a healthier environment at one of the country's busiest border crossings. Our session today is focusing on the challenges, the rewards, and the barriers of helping in the development of a water and comfort station in this faraway land. What are the risks of becoming involved in an international project in a foreign country? Bernie joined Rotary in 1987 in Saskatchewan, and after moving to Lethbridge, he joined the local Rotary Club in 1991. He has traveled to Togo in 2004 as part of the Rotary polio campaign and to assess the sanitation project. He is the district governor-elect of Rotary International, and please join me in welcoming Mr. Bernie Carrier.
Thank you, Diane, and good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be here. It's a pleasure for me to be able to share some of the experiences and, as Diane described, the challenges of what Rotary faces and what a poor continent like Africa faces on an ongoing basis. Some of you may be familiar with what Rotary stands for, and I thought I'd give just a brief background as to how Rotary was formed, where it was formed, and how Rotary continues to be so successful here in Lethbridge. Rotary was born in Chicago, Illinois in February 1905 when a young and lonely lawyer by the name of Paul Harris called together three business associates for an evening meeting. They shared similar backgrounds and missed the friendliness and trustworthiness of dealing with people that they knew. Paul Harris grew up in Vermont in the eastern U.S. and he moved to Chicago, and he found Chicago to be a very aggressive and a very depressing city. One night, they decided to form a club where they could meet and deal with one another in friendship and trust. Thus, Rotary was born, and one of its very early objectives was the ideals and joys of service. To this day, the Rotary motto is service above self. Rotary has been evolved over the world wars. There was a massive decrease in Rotarians in Europe during the two world wars, but Rotary resurfaced. Peace and tolerance were not considered to be roles for Rotary in the organization's early days. Rotary was, as an organization, and Rotarians individually played an important role in the formation of the United Nations, and I think a lot of Rotarians don't even know that. This happened in April of 1945, when Rotary was in the forefront of arguably one of the most important meetings in the 20th century, and that was the finalizing of the Charter of the United Nations, and that took place in San Francisco. Now Rotary has more than 1.2 million members in the world, in 32,000 clubs, and in about 168 or 69 countries. There are four avenues of service, and these are what Rotarians are introduced to when they join any Rotary Club. Service within the club, service for the community, service for their vocation, and service internationally. For a strong club, we just want members to be active, to make sure that the club is productive, and to make sure that the club can continue with its mandate of Rotary. With community, there are three Rotary clubs in Lethbridge. Each club has a strong mandate to serve its citizens and its community. Regarding vocational, many Rotarians use their vocation to help with youth, to help with seniors. We provide scholarships, we provide student exchanges. And every year, I know our club, we host an exchange student, and this year we have a young lady from India who is a very dynamic and very bright young lady. International, and this is the purpose of my presentation today, I'll speak on my travels to Africa in 2004. And also, I think, if time permits, in Rotary's initiative to eradicate polio from the surface, from the face of the earth. I found Africa to be extremely hot, extremely humid, extremely polluted, and I was in a country, it was a military dictatorship, so as a Caucasian male, we were stopped. I was stopped very frequently by the military and often asked for money, and I was told, do not give any money, because if you give once, they'll be forever on you for the duration of your trip. So that took a while to get used to. But as you know, poverty is extreme in Africa. HIV/AIDS is very predominant. And just last week, in the last couple of days, on CNN, they indicated there were some 11 million people that are going to die in Africa this year through drought and starvation, excluding polio, excluding HIV/AIDS. So Africa is a continent in need. So I'll just start this slide, and I'm not very technically inclined, so hopefully this will work. On the projector in front here, Beth. Can everyone see that okay? That's okay. In the spring of 2004, I took a trip to Africa, and then they call it Rotary Discovery Grant. Discovery Grant, it allows Rotarians to travel in other parts of the world to make sure that if you're going to partner with a club, if you're going to partner with a group of individuals there, you need to make sure that the partnership is solid. If you're going to send funds there, you need to make sure that the individual and the club will follow through with any project that you may have. Purpose of the trip was to identify and plan projects that clubs in our district can support in areas of education, public health, literacy, environment. And all of those areas are in desperate need of help in Africa. The country I traveled to was Togo. And Togo was right here. It's in West Africa. Very tiny French-speaking country. Population of about 5.5 million. It stretches east-west, perhaps the distance from Fort McLeod to Pincha Creek, and north-south from our border, say, to Red Deer. Lomé is the capital city, and the population of Lomé is about 1.5 million people. So there it is right there. It borders Benin and Ghana, very close to Nigeria and Niger. We have our Chinook winds here in southern Alberta. The time of year I was there, we have the Harmattan winds. And the Harmattan winds, it's a wind from the north, and it blows the fine particles from the Sahara Desert, and it's in the air all the time. There's this film of dirt and grease and grime, and when you mix that with humidity and pollution, at the end of the day, you're just caked in grime in Greece. It is a republic, as I indicated. It's a military dictatorship. And small country, slightly smaller than West Virginia, but I just described to you how large the country is. Population about 5.5 million. As of July 2001, if anything, it's grown significantly more. But this was very predominant, the fact that there's extreme poverty and the $1,500 per person per capita GDP. This is in 2001 or 2000, and if you move that up just a few dollars, then I suspect you probably can't move it up significantly more than that. The jewel of Africa is the baobab tree. For people in Africa, and it's an instantly recognizable symbol. And because it can survive droughts and it can survive long periods without rain or without water, the tree is often revered and looked at as having magical powers. And they're all over the place. And this is a large tree. It's a huge tree. I was hosted by the Rotary Club there. There's 5 Rotary Clubs in the capital city of Lomé. And this club is probably the most active. And this is one of the Rotarians who hosted me. But you can see how large that tree is. You just need to be aware of the correct pronunciation of my host there. His name is Bichi, and he's a diplomat with the West African National Bank. He and I traveled to another country, and he travels with a diplomatic pass and diplomatic immunity, just like any other government official. Very, very well-to-do. His wife is an ophthalmologist, and his place is surrounded by a wall that's probably 25, 30 feet high with barbed wire, and outside these walls there's poverty, people sleeping on the streets and on the dirt and on cardboard mats. So in Rotary, we like to have what we call fireside chats, and fireside chats are opportunities for Rotarians to get together and discuss Rotary as a whole, Rotary, what it represents. And each night, or several nights, he hosted in his backyard a joyous occasion, a joyous fireside chat, complete with the foods and members of other clubs and high-profile speakers. And you certainly get a sense that a lot of people from Togo will leave and go to France. And they do want to come back and serve their country, but they're very apprehensive about leading a good life in France, and most of them go to Paris. Now, I think you would have seen in the last 6 to 8 months there were these riots in France, in Paris, and a lot of those youth were coming from African countries because they were promised opportunities to perhaps work and to find some meaningful employment, and it just hasn't happened in France. That's the reason for a lot of them coming back. Now, I traveled from Montreal to Paris, and I was met by a Rotarian from Normandy. His name was Michel Lefebvre. Very appreciative of what Canada did to Normandy and to Holland in the Second World War. He sang O Canada for me at the airport in Paris. In the departure lounge, we were certainly outnumbered, the Caucasian males, we were certainly outnumbered. And I saw this individual with a big placard with my photo on it, and I thought, I'm in trouble already. I just landed here. But he was looking for me, and as soon as he saw me, he sang in a very loud voice, O Canada, and the fella meant it, because he just knew again the significance of Canada's contribution. I was hosted for 2 weeks by Rotarians, but these individuals are very much involved in their own businesses, their own employment, their own professions. So some of the wives made sure that if I needed to go visit some of the project sites, if I needed to go visit some of the areas, and there were schools and hospitals, they were so happy to be able to take me along. And the reason why I just included this photo was their colorful costumes, their colorful dress. And most hospitable ladies. So you can see on the right hand of the slide, Dodova, that was the name of the hotel or the home where I stayed. And every morning I saw this individual come by with his sheep, his goats, and not sure where he went, but he came back at the end of the day, 5 o'clock on the nose. But you can see the gravel or you can see the dirt. And in the periods of heavy rains, there's no water doesn't flow that well. So there's lots of mud and there's lots of uneven, broken sections of the roads. And vehicles have one heck of a time going through. The vehicles are not new. The vehicles come off the boats from France, and they're probably 10, 12 years old. There's a lot of motorcycles. Motorcycles are probably 10, 12 years old, and they emit lots of pollution. They're not tuned up, so there's a blue haze all the time. So the purpose of my trip, again, we went out to remote areas, remote villages, and I saw kids walking these 6, 8, 10, 12 kilometers. And it was very apparent that the men are very lazy. The men do not work. The men would sit under trees in the shade, and it was the ladies, it was the women who went out to work. And you could see time and time again, the women would go to work, back-breaking work, with a young child on their back, and that was their, they'd work like that all day. And we saw some machinery in the fields, but the machinery was broken down. The machinery was just not functioning the way our agricultural equipment works here. I just wanted to bump into one of these young ladies. This is where she was selling it was a basket or fruits. It looked like nuts, and this was her job for the day. It was to get rid of that and just going up and down the streets. And I was told if you stop one of these young ladies, you'll probably have all kinds of people congregating around you just to make sure that if you're going to take a photo, they want money. And if you're going to give one lady some money, you better be prepared to give another lady some money. And off to the right, there was a group of maybe 6 or 7 mums with their large families, and they too were selling fruits and vegetables and so on. So different way of life, absolutely different way of life. I traveled to Bamako in Mali for a Rotary District Conference, District 9100. And it was there that we got to the business of doing some work to try to come up with what some of the projects would be that I would take back to Southern Alberta, take back to Rotary Clubs. And some individuals there's a physician, a couple of club presidents, and two of those individuals I indicated earlier had left Togo to go to Paris. This fellow right here, he is a physician, and he was thinking of going back to Togo. He was thinking of going back to Lomé to set up his practice there. This is his wife, and then a couple of individuals from the Rotary Club who hosted me. And there's my good friend, Beachy. The club I'm with, and I indicated that I needed to make sure that we were dealing with a club that is very, very active. And these are some of the plaques. Very active. You could see that they've, with community projects, and that one there, I have trouble reading that, but it looks like they're very active within the community core in the town of Anaho. And this one here as well, highest number of world community projects. So this club goes out, looks for financial partners to help them, help themselves in their community. Education and literacy, young ladies need to go to school. Young ladies need to be educated. And this individual from France, he had adopted this young lady, and I think to keep her in school for a year was about $100. Everywhere I went with my camera, these young school kids would want to come up and scratch my skin and make sure, you know, it was fun. But this individual right here, and again, I can't see very well, sorry, I'll see if I can go back. Oh. Smiles and just as happy as can be in spite of there. But the smiles tell it all the young ladies and all the young men in school, the young boys. The schools are not very well equipped. The benches just show that that's all they have. This is a teacher staff room. It's outside under the tree. That school right there, it's a long building. It looks like a trailer. There's absolutely no power. The kids are studying with no light. So if you're close to the windows, then you can get some light. But as you move further towards away from the windows, the kids are reading like this, and they're just trying to bend their papers to be able to read. And this was a washroom facility, and I just did not want to take photos of... It's a shame that we still have to eat lunch here. This is a traffic circle. And in the middle of the traffic circle, there was a military... A sculpture of their leader, the military dictator. And I wanted to stop here because, again, just this Rotary Club was very active. And take a photo. But the guy said, you need to go talk to the military guys. And right behind there, behind these trees, there were armored personnel, armored vehicles, and I went to see them, and they said, you got to go talk to the police. And the police are around the circle. So we had to dodge traffic, and we had to, and both times, we had to give these guys some money. So a little bit different than what we're used to. In terms of the environment, it's right on the coast. Their beaches are fantastic, just like you would see in Cuba, just like you'd see in Mexico or Florida. But they've had to move this road twice because of the erosion. So just this one of the project. And the further you move, there's a village that's being threatened. So you could see how the highway just gets eroded and they need to back out. One of the Rotary clubs in Holland decided that they would try to prevent the continued erosion. And this is where they just took these huge stones. And it doesn't appear like it's a very large project, but it prevents the erosion. Lome Cocotier, which is the club that hosted me, Cocotier in French or in English means coconut tree. And they had significant loss of coconut trees through disease many, many years ago. So every time someone comes to visit, they plant a tree. And they plant three trees, one for the person who's visiting, one for the host club, and one for Canada. And if we go back, you'll see a lot of these trees are growing nicely. So these are just photos pertaining to that. Waste disposal. This is a residential area right here. And they pile their garbage right here. And kids are playing in there. The animals are playing in there. And you could see... I stopped and you could see there's bodies of water there and you could see the thick mosquitoes. And you know in Africa the malaria is prevalent. And there again, you just know that that's going to happen. So there's the body of water. And I think, I can't see very well, but I believe that's an animal right there. There again. And then what happens is, as the city expands... They want to take the garbage and they expand and there's lots of floods because of the rain. And when the city does expand, they're on floodplains. The city says, we don't want you to build here because it's too low. Well, what they do is they take this garbage, move it to another area so that the level is raised, and they build there. So you could see, I'm having trouble there seeing that, but I believe, is that a tomato stand there? Yeah. Right in the middle of the residential area, right in the middle of the garbage area, there was an elderly lady who didn't want her photo taken, but she's selling her vegetables, and people are stopping there, and commerce continues. Now, here's one right here. This is in this floodplain. This young boy, his dad was building an addition to the house, and you can see the garbage just abutting right up to there, and this smoke here is just garbage that's burning right in there. So if this is going to flood, you can just imagine the water and the flood and what that all brings. Public health, the mayor says don't use the beach to toilet yourselves. And again, we're having lunch here, so I'll continue with that. The hospital, it's the main hospital, very poorly equipped. This is how they get their water. Large, large hospital. One of the Rotarians who was a physician took me there. So they get their water, their cisterns, and it's just rainwater that gathers. And I saw doctors and I saw nurses just go with a bucket of water to be able to fetch some water. They still, disease, cholera is still prevalent there, and that's how they treat the patients. this club that hosted me, again, this is all in French, but it's just educating the young kids about sex education, about use of condoms. Condoms are not birth control or death control. We've heard that before. Polio. Wayne, if I know the time is running here, but I'll just talk about 5 minutes. Okay, I'll just talk about Rotary's initiative to eradicate polio. Polio. I don't remember much as a child. The effects of polio. When I was in Africa, just picture your busiest intersection in Calgary, and when the light turns green, everybody crosses the intersection. Well, in amongst that crowd were young men and young ladies afflicted with polio, and they were on their hands and knees crawling across the intersection. They call them polio crawlers. And they're adults. It's too late for them to be saved. But Rotary is launching, has launched, the eradication of polio. So I was there. I just happened to be there where they were vaccinating some kids. And I was able to go to a school with World Health Organization officials. And the look on their faces, you could see it's very festive. There were Rotarians from France, and we vaccinated hundreds and hundreds of kids in this remote village. These kids, the look in their eyes were a little apprehensive, but the look in their mom's eyes and the grandmother's eyes were of relief. And it just continued. Again, polio, where we were going to. And this sign tells it all right here. Eradication of polio was announced in 1986, there were 350,000 cases of polio in about 125 countries. Rotary wanted to eradicate polio by the year 2005, its centennial year. So, just as of last week, they issued a press release that polio is only in 4 countries in the world. There's still some cases that are going from border to border, but polio was found in 4 endemic countries, and that's India, Nigeria, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. Okay, I'll just quickly slip through these. And so I came back and I said we need to do a project, and one of the projects is this comfort, health, and water sanitation building at the border. I couldn't take pictures of the border because of military and customs and so on. So they watched my photos. And I guess this is the ladies' facility at the border crossing. 5,000 to 7,000 people cross this border every day. And this is where we're building. The project is about $25,000 US. Partner clubs include a couple of clubs here in Lethbridge, districts in France, clubs in the US, in Africa. And they just started construction about a month ago. So this is 2 years ago. By the time we get the funding in place, it takes a long time. It's a very test of patience, a good test of patience in terms of sending the money down there. We need to make sure that, again, the partner club at the other end is solid. And this is what we want to address, and it's on its way. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.